Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I have a very special guest with me today. He is my son, Clayton Wood. Clayton is the executive director of Thrive Lonsdale, and Thrive is growing. They're now serving 150 kids in an after-school mentoring program, and the secret to their success is Jesus. God is doing great things there, and we rejoice in what he's doing. But this month is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and in order to prevent child abuse, one of the things is that people have to be aware of it. You have to know that this is a problem in our society. And not just in our society, obviously. Children are mistreated all around the world and have been throughout history. So this is not by any means a uniquely American problem. But it is a tragic problem, and it is heartbreaking to know that it happens in communities all over our land. I'm delighted to get to talk with Clayton, who has been as involved as we have for years in providing safe places for kids, relationships that nurture children. And I was reminded of the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, "You know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." That's what a father's supposed to do. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Clayton, tell me a little bit. Not all of our folks know you and know your background. You graduated from law school. You spent a number of years working with the American Center for Law and Justice. Then you spent a little bit of time in the business law area and working with a nanotech firm. But God called you out of that with a burden to work with fatherless children. How did God speak that to your heart?
Well, I had determined in my heart that I would never be involved in the pastorate or in ministry, although I wanted to support that and thought it was a great thing. I just thought that for me, that wasn't what I was going to do. And I had taken some time and had said at the time that I had three legal jobs that I was going to think and pray through. And my real goal there was, in comparing them, I wanted my wife and our new firstborn child to enjoy their life wherever we ended up, but I wanted to work really hard and make as much money as possible so that I could bless others, but also just so we could be comfortable and I could be in a place where there was a lot of money in the bank and I could live comfortably off of the interest from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had these three legal jobs I was praying about, and as I was in the midst of that week that I had set apart to make that decision, someone called and said, "Clayton, I know you're not looking for a job, but we're looking for someone like you who can take what your parents have done in Ware's Valley and do it overseas." And we had a 30-minute phone call, and when I got off the phone, I knew that that was what God was telling me to do.
Mm.
My story in being involved in ministry, again and again, the place that I'm the executive director of now, the board asked me to be the director, and I said no, and then I was a consultant for it, and then the guy I wanted to be the director said, "Clayton, have you been praying about it? Because it seems like it's what God has for you." I think that a lot of it was, in one way, part of the reason that my testimony in helping fatherless kids is different from so many other people in this area is because it's not something I'm naturally inclined to at all. But it's something that I've always desired to walk in obedience to God's call. And so his supernatural love that he's given me for people in this situation is a direct result of my obedience to what he told me to do.
Praise God.
And so it's not something where I think, gosh, you know what's fun? I love working with inner city kids. I started volunteering because there was really clear imperative in scripture to me for being the hands and feet of Christ to care for kids who are fatherless and who are left as orphans. And understanding who I was as a spiritual orphan, that I had an incredible example of a godly father who was giving me a picture of the love of my heavenly father, but that so many other kids didn't have that, and that they weren't going to be able to view and understand God as who he is unless someone would help them overcome the lies that they were believing about who they are, who God is, and what the plan is for their life that, that they were hearing from the enemy. And so I took the overseas orphan care work. I started volunteering as I was home with an inner city ministry. And then God opened the door and really kind of pushed me through that door to to head up this organization. And I'll say that in child abuse prevention time, one of the most surprising things to people when they get to understand our program and understand the success of the program is that we minister mostly to kids and their spiritual and emotional needs through a discipline system. And people often wrongly believe that the absence of discipline is really what's most satisfying for kids and really what's kindest for those kids. And part of the tragic breakdown in abuse situations, abuse and neglect situations, is that kids have no idea what godly, consistent, loving discipline looks like. And their discipline is, in every way, it's inconsistent. It's hateful and spiteful and mean and exasperating. And it leads them toward a full rebellion where they say, you know, the best thing for me would be no discipline.
Yeah.
But God loved us so much that he provides discipline to his children. And in the context of relationship, never, you know, spanking a kid in anger or anything like that. But in the context of relationship, consistent loving discipline provides you with the framework that you need in order to really flourish.
Amen. Clayton, as you live in a community where you see cases of child abuse, and of course you have to report, as we do, any case where there's reason to believe that there's abuse going on, how overwhelmed would you say the social services systems in the places you're aware of really are at this point? Are people able to just respond to each report and do an investigation and provide appropriate follow-up, or are they overwhelmed?
Yeah, they are overwhelmed, and the situation is really it's bad and getting worse in some areas. So for example, in our neighborhood where our primary program is in Lonsdale, we have four largest population groups, and the abuse that's suffered in those groups is somewhat different. And for a long time, I thought that the reason we weren't getting little white kids signed up, although there are poor white kids in our neighborhood, was due to racism, that there was just a desire to keep these white kids away from, you know, kids from other races. But over time, as I got to know families and got to know moms and they talked to me more, it was very clear that I was wrong. And one of the mothers said to me, "You know why you'll never get our kids?" She said, "It's because y'all called DCS." And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, we are a mandatory reporting agency, but, you know, we call DCS for cases of abuse. We don't just call them for fun, certainly not because we think everyone should have their kids taken away." And she said, "Yeah, but DCS thinks it's abuse if you shoot up in front of your kids."
Right.
Well, ministering and going door to door and talking to people who were strangers but who I've gotten to know, I would estimate that the number of young people, if you see somebody 75 in Lonsdale, an older white person, there's a good chance that they're a sweet Christian. But if you see somebody who's 40 in Lonsdale, absent a few roads kind of that are a little different demographic, those are people who are very likely struggling with drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the substance abuse has changed somewhat. It was heavily pills, and now it's heavily heroin. And it is extremely widespread. Talking to directors of other inner city programs and ministries, we're all witnessing the same thing, this scourge of drug abuse. And there are people who Satan can tie up in knots, and they can do horrible, evil, disgusting things to their kids sober. But there's a lot more people who the worst abuse their kids suffering is happening in a time when they are high.
Yeah.
And so when you look for these commonalities of some of the just awful, shocking, and terrifying things that are happening to the kids, very often now, I would say substance abuse and alcoholism are right there at the center of those broken relationships.
Absolutely. And we've certainly seen that at the ranch. There are wonderful Christian parents and grandparents who turn to our ministry, Ware's Valley Ranch, because they are sober and they want the best for their child, and they realize that they are presently not in a condition to provide that because of an illness, because they're having to work two or three jobs as a single parent because of, you know, a variety of circumstances. But the vast majority over the last 25 plus years of caring for kids here at the ranch, the vast majority, the catalyst that caused the child to have to go live with the grandparent, or that caused the child to lose one of their parents or both of their parents, is substance abuse. So, you know, this is an area where Christians need to be alert. And I would submit one of the things, I recently went to a meeting where they were trying to help church leaders know how to help folks in the community. And they said, one thing you need to do is put up information on your church bulletin board about where people can get help for substance abuse. Because A, there are people in your church who have a problem that you don't even know about. And B, those people often feel like nobody else in the church has this problem, so I can't ask anybody for help. And if they see that on the bulletin board, they know, wow, there's help available, and I'm not alone. And these folks care about me and want me to get help. But it's just little things like that that can make a difference. And I know we just, your mom and I were in Washington, D.C., and we met up with one of our graduates from many years ago here at the ranch. And as we talked with her and reminisced about her childhood and how she ended up coming to Ware's Valley Ranch, she actually was a child who filled out her own application. Now, there are adults who have a hard time getting the application filled out. But this little girl knew that her mom would not fill out the application. So this girl filled it out herself. And when it asked, you know, what is this child's attitude toward authority, her response was to name herself so-and-so, is generally respectful toward authority, and seeks to do what she is told. And she was describing herself, but describing it as if she was the responsible parent describing the child. There are kids who are having to fend for themselves. You know, I could call names of kids you know from when you were growing up at the ranch, who basically had to fix the food, not just for themselves, but for their substance abusing parent. And they had to be the adult in the home when they were in elementary school. And that is, on the one hand, tragic, and on the other hand, an opportunity for the body of Christ to come alongside children and families that are hurting and say, hey, there really is a God who cares about you, and we want to show you what that looks like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are social services that are overwhelmed in part because even Christians working within them are not able to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what's needed for these kids is not just sandwiches, it's not just clothes, it's not even shelter. What's needed for them is love and relationship and care, and they need to know a supernatural relationship. These kids, all these kids in these abusive situations, a part of what happens is that they develop finely honed survival techniques.
Yes.
So they become keenly aware of what are you doing? What's your story? Why do you talk to me? Why are you here? And in part, just because of my own personal story of how God brought me in, you know, kids are kind of getting to know me, and it's like, wait, why are you doing this?
Right.
And because it's not, I don't think it's super fun to go play basketball in the afternoon and with some kids on the outdoor court.
Right.
But when they want to know, why are you doing this? The answer is because I was a spiritual orphan. God adopted me into his family. He's given me a new heart. He's given me a new life, and he loves you, and I love you too. And he wants you to know how much he loves you.
Amen.
And so that is a message that we can provide. The church has focused so much of its effort on providing for physical needs and then secondarily maybe some tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
And that should not be the focus of the church. God's made us the salt and light of the world, and our focus should be not on buying things for kids, which you know, short-term feels good. Short-term feels good for us and for them.
Mm-hmm.
But what they need is more costly than that. What they need is our time.
Yes.
And that costs us, and it creates relationships. But ultimately, the answer for an abused child of what they need is the same answer for what your child needs if you're a parent,
mm-hmm.
that they need love, they need care. And you can provide surrogate care in lots of venues. There's short-term fostering opportunities. There's opportunities outside the foster system with a ministry like Safe Families.
Mm-hmm.
There's residential care programs like The Ranch, where you can see kids who you look back and say the best decision that parent ever made was when they made the phone call and said, I can't do this. My child needs help. They need to live in a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's lots of ways that the parents, the concerned caregivers, the church can all respond together to offer what the parents aren't able to provide, whether it's in the short term they're not able to provide. And it's beautiful when they go through recovery and they come out on the other side and they're able to not only be forgiven by their child, but ultimately earn back the trust of their child.
Yes.
Through demonstrating change in their life. There are really sweet stories of redemption there, but even if the only thing that the parent does is get help, so that the kid's no longer in the neglect and abuse situation, it's a tremendous rescue for that child.
Amen. Amen. Clayton, as you have acknowledged, DCS is often overwhelmed. The workers are often given more cases to follow up on than they're able to follow up on. And there are some precious, wonderful Christian people within DCS who are trying to do the right thing. But you've also experienced the fact that some of the folks who end up working in DCS are hostile toward the faith and regard ministries such as yours or such as ours as being a bad thing for kids. Talk about that for a moment, if you would.
Well, it's very frustrating. A part that I see pretty regularly is you can tell the hostility pretty clearly, even in nonverbal communication, when you start talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can almost see the demons trying to get out there. But the other piece of it is that what we do doesn't make sense to DCS.
Right.
And so the fact that we are caring for kids and that the government provides us with no funds,
right,
doesn't make sense to folks. There are folks at DCS who are not Christians who are just thrilled because they're like, good grief, this is a great program, great outcomes, and, you know, wow, keep up the good work. But there are other folks who say, there's something going on here that doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not getting paid for each of these kids, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
And they just can't, to them it is 2 + 2 = 5. and they don't understand that we're not using the same book that they're using,
right,
and that we're not using the same currency that they're using,
amen,
and that our scoreboard's not the same. We desire to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, from our Father who has given us everything good that we have. And so we're walking in obedience to Him, and that is something that what we're doing is foolishness to the world. It also, though, to some degree, to the extent at which it's clearly religiously motivated and biased, it should be counted as joy by us, because
amen,
we're promised persecution if we walk in obedience. And part of the reason I think that the church in the United States experiences it so infrequently is that we're not walking in obedience, and we're not boldly declaring the truth about who Jesus is and who we are apart from Him.
Amen.
And so we've had some pretty negative experiences. I have often experienced that DCS workers, because of how difficult a job it is, will either end up kind of taking parent sides, because kids will often lie and exaggerate and
mm-hmm.
change things,
mm-hmm.
Or they'll end up taking the kids' sides, because a lot of the parents will lie. And so I had a great meeting with a guy who I was getting to know, and I said, man, I just want you to know, most people I see who have been in DCS, not the first couple of years, there's a lot of idealistic, wonderful people the first couple of years, but the people who have been there for a while, they seem to have always decided that they're either sick of adults or sick of kids. And it seems to me like you really love the adults well and you love the kids well. And he said, Clayton, thank you so much for saying that, man. I completely agree with you, and that's why I'm leaving DCS.
that's awful.
So that was my first worker who I had really just thought, this guy's awesome, and he really gets it. And,
yep.
But you know, here's the thing. If we know people in those jobs who know Jesus,
yes,
goodness, what a sacrifice and what a tough place to serve, where you know that the ultimate thing that's needed, you're prohibited from really offering.
Mm-hmm.
But what a great place to have Christians. What a great place to have salt and light.
Yes.
And if you know the other people and they're acting horrible, why would you expect them not to? They're not Christians.
Right.
So some of the hostility that we see there is to be expected.
Yes.
I have waded some into that system. I've never been more frustrated with some aspects of our legal system than doing free legal work for folks in DCS cases. But it is never easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is never something that is super clear cut and, you know, here's the good guy and here's the bad guy. They are very complicated cases. They're very difficult. The decision to remove is a really difficult one. The decision to not remove is really difficult and
mm-hmm.
can and has been in some cases, you know, really devastating
yes.
results and impacts because the kids weren't taken out in time.
Mm-hmm.
So pray for those folks at DCS. But as you're seeking of ways to engage, I think that, you know, under the guidelines as they're written by the state of Tennessee, I think half the kids in some of these at-risk elementary schools would go in for neglect.
Yes.
And so they're overwhelmed by the active abuse cases. And when a kid has been, you know, hit and they have bruises, I think, gosh, where's the criminal case? And they say, gosh, you have no idea what we're working with.
Right.
This is one of the least concerning things we've seen this week.
Yeah. Well, Clayton, I want you to know I greatly admire you and the work that you're doing there at Thrive Lonsdale. I hope that our listeners will pray for you when you come to mind, and that folks will look for opportunities wherever they might be. I know we have listeners all over the country and up in Canada and some other places through the internet around the world. But wherever you may be, just ask your Heavenly Father to show you how you can be involved as part of the solution. And if you're listening and you're a person who has suffered abuse and has great pain and turmoil as a result, we would be happy to hear from you, to pray with you, and to try and encourage you and provide you with some help from the Lord. So don't hesitate to contact us. But again, Clayton Wood, thank you so much for being on the broadcast today. Thank you for the wonderful ministry that God has given you. And I know that you'll continue to pray for us as you serve on our board. So
yes, thank you for being such a wonderful example of the love of God. And thank you for demonstrating as well that there is rescue, there's care, there's life-changing relationships that can help kids who are in abusive situations.
Praise God. Thank you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.